Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together, we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a great guest. So let's get started. Disclaimer real quick to all of our listeners out there today. I just wanted to make you guys aware that today's program is going to be intense. It has to do with clinical depression, suicidal thoughts, and what happens when someone suffers in silence with feelings of despair and hopelessness that go unchecked. My friends, the good news, though, is that God is on the throne, and we have a powerful testimony from a beautiful young lady who survived a suicide attempt for you guys today. Her conversation with my dad is probably not for kids unless accompanied by a parent, but it is certainly for teens and their parents, for young adults, and people everywhere who have been touched by the growing epidemic of suicide, suicidal thoughts, suicidality, and severe depression. Our guest is Miss Emma Benoit. She recently spoke at her Next Gen Mental Health Conference, and let me tell you guys, she was truly amazing. This conference was the first of its kind to assemble experts in the fields of mental health with a Christian perspective who study and care for millennials, Gen Z, and our nation's vulnerable youth. Emma, as you'll hear in her own words, was on the outside a typical high school girl, a cheerleader, came from a good family, a lot going on with her friends and at school, but inside, she says she always suffered in silence with anxiety and depression, afraid to speak up because of the shame and the stigma surrounding mental health issues. A suicide attempt at age 16 left her partially paralyzed, but propelled her on a mission to use her painful experience to help other young people find relief and hope. And as she says, to let kids, teens, and young people know, in her quote, "These thoughts are not serving you. Express your pains and your hurts. Find someone. They're out there to open up to." Remember what Emma now says, you do not need to suffer in silence. Emma even made a film about her journey. And let me tell you guys, it is absolutely amazing and it's so, so powerful. Its title is My Ascension. It's available to screen to high schools and in school districts. And she travels the country now speaking so that others will find hope to get help and to stay alive. Now, my friend, let's go straight to that conversation now. Here's my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, joined by our special guest, Miss Emma Benoit.
Emma, welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Hey, as we get started, Emma, I think everybody would agree it's been a pretty tough road, rough over the last couple of years. I think it was only intuitive after everything from COVID on that we'd see massive spikes in mental health issues like depression, fear, stress, and anxiety, even suicidality. I don't think we understood the degree of it, but it's been pretty shocking, and we really have seen a real uptick, by the way, especially among our kids. And when you mention that word suicide, I don't think there's a word that scares people more, parents more, I'll add school teachers, coaches, than the word suicide. But what got my attention recently was a CDC report that came out in 2021 that said 57% of our daughters, our granddaughters, described themselves as feeling persistently sad or hopeless, kind of like battling depression symptoms. Mm. And even more, they found this, that 30%, that's like one out of three of our daughters and our granddaughters reported seriously considering attempting suicide. And I don't know how to put words to that. That's not a crisis, that's a disaster we're in. It's hard to believe that our kids are struggling at that level. Pretty shocking. Now you're seeing, I know you travel the country a lot, but are you seeing that kind of sadness and sorrow and even suicidality among our kids?
Yes, it is really tragic and unfortunate that It is seeming to be almost a parallel amongst all of our youth across the nation, especially and particularly within girls and our youth and our adolescent girls. And, you know, there's several different factors as to why I think that is the case, you know, albeit social media, the internet, pressures, peer pressures, all of these things that are not new concepts, but they certainly are uncharted territories for a lot of us, right? So I think when we think about all of these outside circumstances and factors that our youth and teenagers are up against today, it sort of makes a little bit of sense as to why they're struggling, but certainly it is absolutely heartbreaking and devastating to be aware of their struggles and to really be at the face of it for sure.
Emma, you're an extremely passionate advocate for suicide prevention. It's taken you all over the world. God's given you an amazing platform. With that kind of calling, usually when I have a guest in, there's some type of backstory, and that's true for you.
Yeah.
And I want to go back. All-American girl, small-town USA, grew up in Louisiana, mm-hmm. cheerleader, supportive family, friends, you're having fun, even some modeling type things. Take us back, though, and take us back to the summer before your senior year in high school.
Yeah, so like you said on the outside, I mean, my life was picture perfect, all things considered. Great family, supportive household, varsity athlete in high school, popularity, all the things. But what really plagued me was my struggles with anxiety and depression. And the real issue that I faced was not so much the mental and emotional health challenges that were present for me, but more so the stigma and the shame and the fear that I was having with experiencing those emotions like depression and like anxiety. So I really struggled in silence for many years, afraid to be vulnerable, afraid to acknowledge and open up to someone to get support for what I was going through. I was really terrified of people viewing me in a different light because I was struggling with my own mental health challenges. I was afraid that they would think that I was tainted somehow or that I wasn't worthy of the opportunities that I was getting because of my mental health challenges. So it was a real struggle for me.
You know, I'll go back to the statistic, 30% of our daughters or granddaughters are struggling with suicidality. And people would say, that's just no way. Couldn't be. And then the fear piece is, well, I don't even want to begin to talk about it mm-hmm. for fear that if I talk about it, or ask a hard question like, honey, are you struggling with something, that maybe I'm putting that thought in her mind or something, or his mind. And so people, you said you suffered in silence. I want moms and dads to turn up the radio and listen to this for a second. This is important. A lot of those kids who are struggling, you're not necessarily gonna see a lot of the signs, are you?
Right, absolutely. I mean, and that's just what it is nowadays, especially our teenagers are really good at masking and people pleasing and just holding it all together all by themselves. And that is the real struggle that I think we're facing as a society today, is our inability and our unawareness of those that are really struggling. And I think if we learn how to communicate and have these harder, more challenging, sort of uncomfortable conversations with our youth, while it might not be something that we're eager to do, it is something that I think is necessary to do. Having those harder conversations when you don't have any warning signs, when you don't suspect that anything might be wrong or going on with your youth or your kiddo. I think just building that foundation, having that conversation will only let your youth know that, hey, this is a safe space. If I do struggle, this is the person I can open up to. And I think that was one of the factors in my own experience that was really missing, was that awareness in my mind, as well as in the adults in my life supporting these minds, to have that conversation. Nobody really was aware of how to or prepared on how to go about something like that.
I was talking to some parents not long ago, and they just indicated to him, we really didn't see it,
mm-hmm.
had no idea, and they wound up with this note. You know that? And yeah. Emma, other people would say, you're kidding. There's no way. You know what? There's no way. There had to be something going on. Mm-hmm. But I want to keep going back into your story because I think this is where this gets really helpful for us. Mm-hmm. So take us back again to that summer.
So that summer was really challenging for me. It was the first summer that I really felt an extreme feeling of hopelessness and no purpose. I had really started to exhibit some not so typical warning signs of a person who is struggling. I became isolative, not tolerating things like frustration and stress very well anymore. And I really became sort of a different person. I became kind of a shell of a person. Mm. And that summer before my senior year of high school was a very unique summer. It was sort of like a transition period for a lot of my peers. They were getting college offers, really excelling in their classes, had serious direction, and they felt a lot of purpose. Well, I didn't. I didn't have any direction. I didn't feel any purpose. I certainly didn't have any plans for after graduation or college or anything like that. And I was really in a place where I felt extremely hopeless. On top of all of those struggles of not feeling like I had any direction or a sense of identity were the struggles with my anxiety and my depression. One day in the summer before my senior year, all of those feelings and those thoughts just kind of culminated on top of each other, and I impulsively acted on them and I attempted to take my life. Following that attempt, though, something really transformative happened. I had the opportunity to compare the intensity of the feelings of hopelessness and despair with the feelings of regret and shame and fear around even acting on a thought like that. So my experience is very unique in the sense that I know what it's like to be extremely hopeless and to be extremely desperate and in despair for someone to help you out of that place. But I also know what it's like to be on the opposite side of that feeling and knowing that suicide is not the answer, that it is not the solution. And so I have a pretty unique perspective when it comes to these things because I can really identify that those thoughts and those feelings of suicide are lies. And it's tragic that our youth are believing these lies. And I agree to your point that we don't talk about these things enough. And I think if we started talking about the harder things like anxiety and like depression and high stress and suicide, then our youth might not feel so alone when those thoughts are present.
Do you think kids today, well, obviously there are a lot more compounding factors, this social media piece, mm-hmm. This comparison dynamic that's going on, the pornography, porndemic that's up online. Yep. Our kids are getting lost.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by the way, phone time has just taken them away from everything. Mm-hmm. So they're winding up just scrolling constantly. They're up in their rooms. Mm-hmm. And a thing that I'm seeing, like right now, there's real concerns about what's happening with these iPhones, these smartphones, and these algorithms and how they're targeting kids, and they're just dumping things into them. So if a kid's up there searching maybe about stress or anxiety or even suicidality, mm-hmm. they're going to start getting pounded because of the algorithms right on their phone with everything.
Right.
And it's like they're just dumping a culture into their life that as moms and dads, as youth pastors or people who love this generation, mm-hmm. That's a barrier. It's a battleground.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. And it's really scary. Like I said, it's uncharted territory. I mean, no one really knows the ways to navigate these struggles and these challenges. But what I will say is knowing that, right? Knowing and being aware of the fact that our youth are kind of being inundated with misinformation and harmful information is more of an incentive, more of a reason for our parents to really step up to the plate and learn how to educate our youth on these things, learn how to have the hard, uncomfortable, really difficult conversations.
You're saying talk, mom and dad, talk. Mm-hmm. There's nothing off nothing off the table.
No,
we got to go. We got to go. And more you check in, probably the better.
Yes, I agree. And you know what? I know a lot of people have a fear, like you said, around that word suicide, and rightfully so. I mean, that word describes something that is a nightmare for a lot of people. But I think once we learn how to not be afraid of the word suicide and we put it out there plain as day with our youth and our kiddos, man, how freeing that would have been for someone in my life to say, are you thinking of suicide? Mm-hmm. It would have just opened up a floodgate of emotions, and it would have really given me that green light in a way to become super transparent and super honest with the way that I was feeling and in turn the way that I was thinking. So I encourage parents, don't be afraid of talking about suicide. You can never plant that thought into someone's mind. That is a myth. That is not
It actually helps prevent
true.
Suicide.
Yeah, it does.
Em, I want to go forward, and that is the suicide attempt left you in a pretty bad state, mm-hmm. and recovery is really rough.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
I shared with you before we went on the air here that my 14-year-old sister at the time, I was 16, was involved in a car accident and suffered a traumatic brain injury. And she was comatose for 28 days. And, you know, there's a real fine line in there about what happens, you know, with the TBI, traumatic brain injury. And then the recovery process was years. Mm-hmm. And I, at 16, stepped up and in a lot of ways became a parent to her because my mom and dad were both working, and the process was 2 years grueling. I mean, hospitals and all kinds of narrative that went with it. Yeah. It was a rough road.
Yeah.
She had to learn to walk again, talk again. Mm-hmm. Felt trapped inside her mind, her body, her personality was deeply impacted by it all. Mm-hmm. But let me come back to you and talk to us about families who have lost someone, or there's been an attempt and they're trying to come back. And what's that journey like?
Well, I would say it's probably very unique and different for everybody, but in a way, there are certain parallels whenever we talk about these kinds of recovery journeys. And for me, I feel like I was very blessed in a way because of the response and the feedback that I received from my community after something like this. I was really supported and wrapped in just authentic and genuine love. People really met me with so much compassion. And I think having experienced that level of compassion and empathy and grace from people that were in my community, people that were in my home, people that were in my school, is really what gave me the confidence and the strength to really fight through all of those challenges post-suicide attempt. I was diagnosed a quadriplegic, so following the aftermath of my attempt, I was paralyzed from the neck down, so had a similar journey to your sister's. I had to learn how to walk again. I had to learn how to speak again and feed myself and dress myself and fix my hair and all of these sort of smaller nuanced things that people don't think about generally. I had to really tap into a new side of life, and it really was challenging, but at the same time, because of the support that I had, it was pretty seamless for me in a lot of ways. So I am super grateful for that. And I will say, you know, parents and families that are on that journey of recovery, whether it be post-suicide attempt or whatever the case may be, there's going to be really hard moments in that journey. There's going to be some pretty low points, and you're going to feel like you are walking in a valley all by yourself in the darkest night. But what I want to remind you and reassure you is that nothing lasts forever. Those emotions, those experiences, those challenges, they don't last forever. The only constant in life is change. So if we can continue on persevering and remaining faithful and remaining strong in the valley, then when we get to the mountaintop, we'll be able to look back and say, wow, what a journey. And that's kind of what I've been able to do with my story and my physical journey.
Special guest, Emma Benoit. She's a passionate advocate for suicide prevention. God's given her a platform and is taking her around the world, helping her to have a voice and to be able to step into the lives of a lot of today's generations with a message of hope that, yay, God can see you through.
Yeah.
People want to learn more about you. Hey, even this documentary film, My Ascension, where can they go?
MyAscension.us online or My Ascension on Facebook. We also have an Instagram, My Ascension Movie. You just get plugged into all the social medias and check out our website and you can learn everything you need to know there.
Emma, what a delight to have you join us. Thank you for all you're doing. We're going to pray God will continue to give you boldness and courage and strength for the journey. Hey, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Intensity looks impressive in the moment, but it's consistency that builds momentum over time. You see, anyone can have a powerful burst of effort, but real growth comes from showing up and not just showing off. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11 says, "Whoever gathers little by little will increase it." Clinically, the brain rewires itself through repeated patterns, not just occasional passion. A single intense moment doesn't shape your character. Your daily disciplines do. Intensity burns bright and fast, but consistency builds lasting fire. So what's one small life-giving habit that you can commit to daily for the next 30 days? Remember, start small, but then keep showing up because that is where real change occurs. This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. And for more information, visit aacc.net. Again, that's aacc.net.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.